Come on, Poppy, let's be having you. We're dressed for the weather today because I think my previous predictions about spring approaching have disappeared. So we didn't get that one right. It's very, very grey today and misty, mizzy. And there's quite a bit of light rain coming down. And that very fine sort of drizzly rain. So I'm here with the full foul weather gear, as it was called in the Navy. The dog didn't want her coat on. I'm a bit iffy about this because Poppy's missing a little bit of fur in a couple of places, and she can get cold, but she also doesn't like wearing a coat. And so I gave in, and Poppy is here commando, and we'll see how we get on with the walk. But I'm feeling quite pleased with myself because I've been sat indoors doing some UK column work. I'm not allowed to say what it is. Well, I probably could, depending on the future programming of when material goes out. But I got on quite well. I was also pleased to receive a couple of packages from one of those companies that delivers stuff. And I was really pleased with the young guy that dropped the little packages off, because he actually did ring my doorbell. And this is a big deal, because a while ago we thought it was a good idea to have a doorbell because we didn't have one. And having selected one and fixed it by the door at an appropriate height where people could see it, I was then stupid enough to expect people who were making a delivery to ring it. But I quickly found that the delivery men, for whatever reason, would always knock on the door, which we can't hear, and they would fail to ring the bell. So possibly I need a big sign actually saying ring here, but I don't think we're going to do that. Well, anyway, a few birds out, and I wonder whether you can hear this one. Well, we've got the birds singing, but that was a dove cooing, sat on the gate looking at me with some suspicion. And there's quite a few doves around here, and it's quite nice to see them all grouped up. And yes, as you walk past, they look at you with this sort of suspicious look on their faces, cocking their head to one side. Now, I'm really pleased that a few of you have come back with me, because I had absolutely no idea what was going to happen with my first walk with the dog. And I have to say, I was absolutely amazed when the YouTube views got up to 3,000, a little bit over 3,000. But I was delighted with that, because it's been a long time since we put stuff out on YouTube. Because of course YouTube decided they were going to censor the column, and the main site was taken down. So as I think I said in episode one, I know that I've got to think about what I'm saying at certain times. But nevertheless, it was great to see you all there. And I've looked at most of the comments. There might be a couple now that I haven't. And yeah, a lot of really nice comments, which is a big boost, because you do what you do and you're not too sure how it's going to be received. So it was really lovely to see those comments coming in. Little bit of furore with a couple of people over the fact that it was audio. And I had people saying, oh, well, it should be video and you should have a selfie stick. And I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do that, because the moment you start videoing, I'll have to just wait for this lorry to come down part of this track. the moment you start videoing, you have to concentrate on the videoing. And that means that I'm not having an enjoyable walk with the dog. And so I thought, yep, the best thing to do here is audio. And I did like the fact that a couple of people said to me, yeah, Brian, it was great because I was doing other things. I think one lady said she was making lunch or a meal. So we're going to stick with audio. And I'll just say nicely, if you were one of the people who said, oh, it's not a video, just stay with me for a bit and see whether you can enjoy the fact you can just, you know, relax in a chair, or you can be driving or walking, and we can do this together. And it is good. It's great you've come. And I see that a few of you have come properly prepared with the welly boots, and you're going to need them. Yeah, so there we are. Poppy's just, what are you up to, Poppy? Yeah, she's having a good sniff around today. I mentioned the squirrels previously, and my goodness, the woods seem to be alive with them at the moment. So she's happy to keep a watchful eye out. And yes, where were we? Well, the other thing is that I was able at home to sit down and watch the UK Column News and UK Column Extra. So it was Mike with Vanessa and Charles Mallett. I don't know whether you've ever seen UK Column News, but if you haven't, I'd encourage you to watch it. And you'll need to go to ukcolumn.org to do that. I'm having a bit of fun here, but I know, of course, that many people watch stuff on YouTube and they don't actually get near websites. They don't actually go and look for the source material. But it's always nice to be able to sit at home and watch the news. And yes, I do try and join in the chat box when I can. But I was also surprised when I saw the time, because I did another piece of work and sent a couple of emails, and then I discovered that it was 20 past three, so I thought I'd better come out. And here we are, coming down to the river. Hello. I'm actually recording a little bit of audio here, so I'm meeting you. You don't give me any names, but tell me about your dog.
Oh, this is Molly. She's 13 years old, very arthritic and very slow, but she still likes to go out. She's well-travelled.
Excellent.
She's been to Dubai and back.
Really?
She lived on Channel Islands for 2 years.
Dubai a bit hot?
It was awful. She came back after 6 months.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Is that enough?
That's absolutely perfect. Thank you very much.
What do you do with it, I wonder? Or you just...
I've got it up on YouTube. It's just called Walking the Dog.
Ah.
My name's Brian Gerrish, Walking the Dog.
Okay.
So I did the first episode, I think it was about 10 days ago.
Right.
And I got 3,000 views on it, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have said that it's just nice to be able to listen to something that's... well, one person said it's a bit like listening to the radio years ago when,
right,
when those things. So I walk along, I comment, I talk to the dog,
right,
and I've spoken to a couple of people.
Right.
No, no names, it's all anonymous.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, people seem to have enjoyed it. So
yeah, it's much better than doom scrolling, which is what.
Well, unfortunately, we also do a bit of that.
Yeah.
But this is why I decided for this one, you know, just to keep it upbeat.
Oh, walking the dog,
Okay. Well, there we are. That's fascinating, isn't it? I wonder what will happen when that lady goes and, if she does, go and have a look at episode one. And also interesting, of course, she talked about doom scrolling, which is an expression I haven't heard before, but I know what she means. So I thought I'd just bring you down to look at the river because it's, well, it's dropped a bit, but it has been very high over the last few days because we've had some really extraordinary rain. And so I'm just stood here watching it go down towards the old railway, the remains of the old railway bridge, which I've talked about. But it's all looking very wintry again today, and little beads of rain clinging to the ends of the smaller branches. And yeah, there's this little bit of mist which swirls around. But I thought we'd just go in a slightly different direction. So I'm going to head up through some farmers' fields in a minute, and we'll come back down the back lane. And it's generally a loop, of course, that I'm walking. Well, I do want to get home at the end of it. But it's one of the lovely things about where I live is that there's a lot of wonderful places you can walk a dog. You know, you haven't got to go too far from your home. And you can generally do circuits. So we have a joke amongst the dog walkers. You meet and you say, ah, you're on a clockwise circuit today. And then, of course, sometimes they'll go and do an anti-clockwise because that tends to make things more interesting. But I thought for Poppy this afternoon we'd head out in a different direction to the one I took you guys on before. I also... Here, Pops, Poppy. I'm also trying out a new device here, which I hope is going to work okay, because before my little microphone, I had a soft pad over it, foam pad, which does cut out a bit of the wind noise. But because it's very windy today, I've got a little furry cover over it. A windscreen, as they say. But this is just it's like a little ball of soft fur, which is, hello, stuck at the top of my jacket. Come on, Pops. And it looks like a small creature, to be honest. So we'll see whether we get any comments. I hope you can hear those birds. I'm not sure what they are. There we are. There's a challenge to my audience. What are the birds making that sort of repeated chirpy noise? A little bit of an interesting garden. I've watched a bit of work go on with some garden sheds being built. I've also got a house here that's recently been up for sale, and it's quite incredible. I don't think it's very big. It's probably only got 3 rooms in it. And I wouldn't like to say when it was built. If I guessed, probably the 1920s. And I suspect an elderly person's lived in it for quite a long time, because this is the first time I've seen it on the market. I said last time there was a bit of heavy breathing, because I did have a pretty bad cold that time. Today I'm okay, but it is a bit steep. It's a bit steep, this bit. So some different little birdies there. It's really wonderful to hear them, and I love it when the weather's better and you come out and it's like the birds are all chirping because they're, you know, happy the weather's dry and the sun's out. It's great. Now, if you can hear the sound, it's amazingly squidgy underfoot. It's a little bit of path, but when it's rained a lot, the rain builds up here, and you almost get a stream down the middle of the footpath. Very strong smell of horses here. I think I know which ones those are, because there's some little ponies which I think are kept purely as pets, because I don't even think they're big enough to ride on. So we just need to keep an eye on Poppy, because this is one of the sheep fields. But I don't think there's any sheep in here today. She's pretty good, actually. She doesn't really show any interest in farm animals. And we walked through a field with some cows the other day, and one of them showed a bit of an interest in us and ended up coming quite close. And that spooked Poppy a bit, and all she did is woof. And then eventually the cow went and joined the others, so we survived. But no, she doesn't really chase sheep, which is good. And we try and respect all the rules of walking in the countryside and shut the gates and stick to the path. So this is a lovely little bit here. I'm up on I'm really up at the top of a little tiny hill. So it's a great big field. There's another big field on my left over the hedge, but this one's the sheep field. And you've got a wood on the right, again with the sort of old trees that I've described. And a lot of these have got this heavy cover of ivy. I can see when I walk around that somebody seems to go round and chop through the stem of the ivy to give the tree a chance. A lot of them are pretty heavy with it. There's a lot of pretty old oak trees in there as well. And I can say with confidence they're English oaks. And I only recently learned the difference between the English oak and the European oak. But essentially the English oak's got a lot more wiggly branches and of course will be superior timber. Well, maybe not. And you come down off the slight slope, and then the field opens up. So it's actually an L shape with the foot of the L off to my right. And when the weather's clear, you end up with a lovely view back through. I'm going to say another of the valleys, because I realised talking to you the other day, when I was talking about a valley, it was almost as though there's sort of one big valley, but you're walking in a valley that's got other valleys contained within it. This is really what makes Devon so special. You've got this amazing rolling countryside. And I love it as a county. I mean, I only ended up here because of the Navy, really, but I do love it. You've got beautiful coastline and cliff walks. You've got some wonderful beaches. And of course, you've only got to hop in the car for sort of 20 minutes and you can be up on Dartmoor. And, you know, summer it can get busy, but even so, there's much of Dartmoor where if you walk off for 20 minutes, half an hour, you will be on your own in some absolutely spectacular scenery. So this is another place that I thought I might take you, but only if you're well behaved. And actually, most of you were last time. So I'll give you gold stars for episode one. And we're just coming up to the hedge here. Everything is autumn, is still autumn colours. So the hedgerows are this ready orange colour with dark greens, because there's quite a lot of holly around here. And this bit of the field is interesting because there's obviously a stream comes to the surface, and the grass, which is all pretty thick and lush, but it's also got the tall spiky grass. It's the stuff when you look at an Ordnance Survey map and it says bog or marsh, it's always got a drawing of these little spiky grasses that have got round, sort of like a tube. The leaf comes up like a tube. And they're quite thick in this bit, and it's also very, very muddy here. Poppy, stay. So this is a stile, a wooden stile, which obviously the farmers put in to keep the sheep in. But the moment you've gone through the stile, there's a fantastic stone stile, which are these big steps which go up over the bank, which forms the sort of basis of the wall of the field, if you like. Really massive stones, so some big lads put those in place. And they've also, you know, got wonderful moss growing on them. So there we are. Now, did you hear that? I'm not sure whether I've talked over it, which is a pity, but we've definitely got some pheasants around here somewhere. They're pretty distinctive with their sort of clucking noises. And they're always very pretty. As I mentioned last time, the estate, well, there's a couple of estates which breed them, so normally the pheasant population is pretty high until the shooting season, which is a sad thing, really. But that's life, isn't it? If you can hear this. So this is quite fun. So you've got the edge of the road, there's a lot of mud and leaves and stuff, and then you've got a low stone wall about 18 inches, which is completely grown over with all sorts of plants, grasses and plants and ivy and various other things. And then the other side of that, it drops down about 4 feet, and there's quite a vigorous little, there we are, we can hear it, a little stream flowing down. It's almost like a culvert, isn't it? I suppose you might call it. And that's going down the side of the road. It is quite a fun thing. You occasionally see youngsters who have been lowered down in there with their welly boots, having a splash along it as their parents walk on the road. It's good to see the little things still keeping people happy. And we have some colour here. Well, we've got several types of colour, actually. We've got some, oh my goodness, what do you call them out? We've got some snowdrops there, not too many of them. And what caught my eye was these daffodils, which somebody's planted, or they've planted themselves on top of this quite high bank. And they're all here looking really lovely. Daffodils, I've always liked as a flower, and I like them traditional. I don't like them when they've they've been bred, so they got, you know, really sort of fuzzy petals. Those are really beautiful, and they're always great in a big clump, because you then get this really big splash of colour. It was the primrose, that was the name that had gone out of my head. So the other thing about Devon is that in the banks, primroses just grow in profusion. And it's always the case, you can be driving along and you'll suddenly see a big splash of colour from the primroses, which is nice. Now there we are, there's a bit more of that stream really coming down. The water looks, you know, very clear. It goes over quite a sort of rocky bed to the stream itself, so the water looks really clear. Can you see Poppy? She's suddenly got very inquisitive at something or other. Now we've got a couple of big fields here. I'm not sure what's growing. What is growing? I think it could be cabbage or kale, something like that. But ginormous fields. And of course, that's something you notice in a country district, that even over my lifetime, the tractors have got bigger and bigger and bigger, to the extent that there's a lot of sections of road that if the tractor comes through, you just don't have a chance. And I think you have to be reasonably good at going in reverse in Devon, because most of the lanes you're going to have to do it at some stage or other. And I can see some really spectacular blossom coming up, but I'm not sure, it's just round the corner, what tree that is. I've got another lovely field on my right here, which sometimes we go into and walk round. And this is another one which I think you'd absolutely call a meadow. So the young lambs and the sheep are brought in here for fattening up. And yeah, it's just a beautiful place because it's quite sheltered, and I think the little sheep at least come and have somewhere that's where there's a lot of food for them, and it's a pretty nice place to be. It's got the river on one side and a big stream on the other, and if you walk through, it'll take you to a path where you can go back into the woods again. That's it. Hello. Come on, Bobby. So another dog walker out there. That's a man I meet from time to time. I haven't spoken to him properly, so I'm afraid I don't know what his name is. It's a joke of the dog walkers that there's a lot of people you don't know their name, you don't know their name, but you know the name of the dog and you know the type of dog they've got. So the person is always described by the dog they have. And we've got a big flooded road. Well, it's not very deep, but it's quite wide. You can hear this road is completely flooded. And you get a lot of mud collects in this bit. Actually, I think I might have said welly boots, but I haven't got welly boots. So I've got straight, Poppy, come here. Got straightforward walking boots. And it's the only disadvantage is that if the water's deeper than the, you know, the ankle of the boot, you're in trouble. But we seem to have survived. So Poppy's gone back on the lead because although this is a little country road here, there's quite a few cars come along. You could also say a lot of them go too fast, but that's the way it is at the moment. So narrow stone bridge, little stone walls either side, and it's got a sort of buttress bit where you can actually stand and have a look out at the river, which is very nice. But we'll get away from that because there's another car coming. And I'm coming into a little car park area. Well, there's a couple of cars, and I suspect there'll be cars from people who are training, you know, professional gun dogs. Sorry, professionally training gun dogs. And that's quite interesting to watch, depending on what they're doing. But I suspect they'll be in the woods. They've normally got a little, it's almost like a little squidgy sandbag, which they either throw for the dogs to retrieve, or they hide that little package in amongst the undergrowth of the trees, and the dogs have to go in and find it. So I presume that's training them for recovering birds that have been shot, or going in to flush them out. And I know there'll be a few people sad at this, but really I'm describing a bit of country life that's been going on for a long time. So we got lots of catkins here. Although they're looking, some of these look as though they're already going over a bit because they're a bit brown and forlorn in the damp. And we've also got some brambles beginning to spring up. They will be covered in blackberries in due course, and people will be down here picking them. And then there's a lot of trees these days that are all covered in lichen, and they don't look particularly happy. I've never found anybody really to ask whether that's normal, or we've got a lot of trees that are suffering with something. There's been a lot of ash trees cut down because of the ash disease, which ash dieback, which certainly Devon got hit with a lot. And that's a shame because, of course, the landowners were keen to get those trees out because they're good timber, so they could sell them on for firewood. But it does mean, you know, there's more of a sort of an attack on trees. When I was a boy and I lived in Gloucestershire, we had Dutch elm disease. And so I can remember the trees starting to die with that. There were, I believe the figure for Gloucestershire was that they lost 600,000 elm trees, and a lot of other counties in the country were affected by it. So that was a bit of a shame. I think a question I asked myself is that sort of stuff normal? Did it always go on, or is this some form of transfer of disease for trees which comes about because of the products we ship between countries? I lived in Holland for a couple of years and have to say I enjoyed my time there. I don't think they're bad people, so I don't really think they would have sent over some special tree disease package. but you never know. So, well, you can hear it now. We've sort of done a loop round and we're back by the main river again. So it's quite noisy here because the flow's coming down over a couple of big boulders. And this is on the other side of the river to me. This is one of the areas where the sheep come down to drink. So it's a lot of it is worn into, the bank's worn down into a sort of gentle slope that they can navigate and get a drink. We've got a solitary daffodil here, that's interesting, just one. And on the other side of the river we got some more clumps. So I don't quite know how it works with daffodils, so I know that once people plant them they seem to spread all over the place. But the interesting thing is they're quite dispersed. Hello. You're a very smart dog. So we got a woolly-coated, white, cream woolly-coated dog with a very, very smart red raincoat. But we're being quite lucky at the moment because I think actually the sort of mizzy drizzle has eased off. We've got a special bit here. Just give that a clunk. There's a big bit, a couple of big bits of tree. The tree came down in winter gales many years ago and they chopped it in order to free up the path. But they then used the biggest sections of the trunk to reinforce the riverbank. And so these, one bit of the tree here is embedded right into the side of the path. The other one, I think the flood stream, because the river was pretty high about a week ago, I think the flood stream has sort of lifted it and partly dumped it back on the path again. But that's all part of the cycle of the river. Probably time to comment on something. And there's a little bench been put in here, which is really nice because you can sit on it and it's got a little bit of shelter behind it. And you're looking over into the sheep field and down the river and part of the path. And next to it is a very officious sign which says Environment Agency, Danger Weir. And it says, this sign has been provided for your safety by the Environment Agency. And for further information, please telephone 03708 506 506. Well, interesting thing is that the dangerous weir was created by the Environment Agency because previously this was just a section of a normal section of the river. But many years ago, the Environment Agency got very excited with volumetric flows of the water, not only on this river, any other river they could get near. And they decided they needed to measure the flow of the river here. So they effectively put in a concrete section. It's about, I don't know, 40 foot long. So it's like a big culvert that they forced the river to go into. And they did that so they had a known cross section and they could then send a little probe out on a piece of wire which would measure the speed of the flow. And so they built that, then they built a little wood cabin and then they decided the wood cabin needed a fence around it. And then it needed a few signs to say what it was and to keep off it. And then they decided that to power the whole thing, it was best to go green. And so it's now got its own little windmill and solar panels. So I'd just like to say the warning sign for the weir should be completely unnecessary, because the only people who caused a problem and any danger is the Environment Agency. And the other bit I'll add is that I've walked this path for a very long time, but I've never ever seen that probe in the middle of the river. And I wonder whether that's the case with a lot of other Environment Agency projects. I am a bit cynical these days, but I just stick up for myself and say it's age-related. And I've never really been able to stand CRAP. And I think that's what I'm looking at. Yeah. Oh, here we go. We got some high-quality catkins here. These are about, well, I don't know, 3 inches long, 1/4 inch wide. And they're all on this little tree, fluttering in the breeze. I don't know what it is with them, but I've always liked them. I've always found them interesting. And I can remember seeing them when I was a very, very, very young child. And, yeah, the catkin thing has stayed with me. It's funny what you remember. So the thing I forgot to tell you was that the car park, which I mentioned where the cars were for the dog trainers, one beautiful sunny morning many, many years ago, I was walking the opposite way to the way I was walking now. I was walking downriver towards that car park. And you can't sort of see into the car park until you get to about the last 20 yards, because there's some trees and bushes. But I was coming down, it was a beautiful morning. I think it was quite early, well, reasonably early. It was about 8 o'clock. And I was just thoroughly enjoying the walk and not really paying attention to anything. I was just enjoying walking and listening to the sounds. And then the next minute I came round the corner into the car park. And it was like I'd gone through a time machine, because there were all these people in 18th century dress. The ladies were there in their tight-waisted, hips to the ground, hooped dresses in beautiful colours, blues and greens and reds. And there were men in their breeches and waistcoats, and I think one of them had a tricorn hat on. And it was marvellous and incredible at the same time, because you just didn't expect to see that. And it literally was just like going back in time. And then I realised that amongst them were other people in modern clothes. And when I got the opportunity to talk to a couple of the people, they were there with a film crew, and they wanted to film a scene where these people were going to be on the little stone bridge that I've been across. And it was one of the girls who did most of the talking about what they were doing, but what I can't remember is if she even gave me the name of the film. And I also know that I never did ever find out where that film clip was used. And I'd really love to, because I'm sure if I saw those people in their brilliant coloured costumes standing on the little bridge, it will be a fantastic memory. So there we are. If you're somebody who enjoys film and theatre and that sort of stuff, it's very powerful how costumes and all of the theatrical stuff can really make an impact on you. Yeah. Contrast those beautiful people, because I've got my yellow high-vis rain jacket on today. And you might be wondering why. They're just brilliant. Because you go and buy stuff from various places. I might have mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. And you can pay quite a lot for supposedly waterproof jackets and stuff, and they never seem to last very long. So a friend said, just go in the local builder's merchant and get yourself a yellow jacket, because they're half the price and they last twice as long. And, you know, they've got a lining, so it's not just a rainproof jacket. And I did this, and best thing I ever did. So a number of advantages. One is, if you work walking early morning or mainly in the evening winter time, you can actually be seen by cars if you get near the road at all. But the other thing is, if you wear it when you're driving your car, it's like you're in a big bubble of sunshine, your own personal sunshine. And it doesn't matter how grey the day is, you get in the car with your yellow jacket and there you are, your own private private nuclear furnace. So that's two reasons. But the other reason for enjoying a yellow jacket is you get respect. People give you respect. And I'll give you an example. I went to see some family the other weekend, and they were taking their youngsters to do a bit of football training on a field. Actually, it was a girls' team. And when we got there, there was a few parents. One man who I initially thought, you know, was the sort of instructor. But as we arrived, the guy looked at me and he said, are you the guy running the place? Because some of it isn't open. And I said, no, I'm not the guy running the place. I'm just the guy wearing the yellow jacket. Well, in the end, there was a bit of discussion between these parents. And they said, well, actually, the place isn't open at all because the little coffee place isn't open and this and that. And should we be here? And I'm pleased that one of the parents said, well, look, why don't we just carry on and run it? If somebody comes, we'll stop. And so they ran the training session. But I'm pretty sure that when they said to me, was it okay if they stayed? If I'd have said no, they would have absolutely not run the session. And why would they have followed that? Simply because I was wearing a yellow jacket. Of course, if you really want to spook people out, you wear the yellow jacket and you need a clipboard and preferably some sort of walkie-talkie. And then I think you can do a lot of things, including maybe some things which, yeah, could cause the establishment a few problems. So, I'm here, just approaching the church tower. Poppy's had a really good walk. She's actually been well ahead of me for most of it, so she's doing all right. Here, Poppy dog. Pops. What are you doing? So I've just come away from the path a bit because it's one of the ladies I spoke to earlier just coming past. I'm not being antisocial, it's just that there's only so much talking to yourself you can do without people really having concerns about you. I'm reflecting a bit actually on what that lady said to me, you know, what was I doing? And I said to her, well, it's just about walking the dog and keeping it like that. I wonder whether that's what I should do. Should I keep walking the dog to be something very chilled? Because really, when I'm doing this, I've got all sorts of stuff going around my head, and I'm wondering whether I should share that with you, because obviously a lot of it will get onto the topic of the day. So there we go. Now I know this lady, so I wonder whether she'll speak to me. Hello, I'm recording a little bit of audio here without telling me who you are. Would you chat to me just as you come up here? It's a little thing which I started called walking the dog. So I'm out walking, I'm talking, I'm describing things, I'm meeting people, and I've got a very good response to it. So this is my second episode.
Right.
And I'm going to say, I think I know you well enough to say, go on.
Okay.
So who's your dog then?
Loki.
And what sort of dog's Loki?
He is a collie.
Collie.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So you're out for the afternoon wander around.
He takes a lot of walking.
And do you do all the walks?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I've been talking to people about the circuits and the fact that all the dog walkers here, we don't mention the place, all the dog walkers here either go clockwise or anti-clockwise.
Yeah, depending on what day it is.
Depending on what day it is, yeah, what you do. Yeah. So what do you think of this little village then? Because you've lived here for quite a while.
Oh, yeah, I like it. I wouldn't move.
Right.
It's nice and quiet and out of the way, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You can get places, but it's out the way.
Yeah.
Your dog's heading towards Australia.
Yeah, he gets bored. So, yeah, no, I like it. Hello, puppy.
So, were you born here then?
No, I was born in London.
All right, okay.
I moved down here when I was 9.
Okay, can I be cheeky and ask when that was then?
40 years ago.
Yeah, right, so it's the same time as us, actually.
So I grew up, came down here, I was here till 16 and moved into town. I moved around and then I came back here when my daughter was 5 and she's now 25.
Right, yeah. It's pretty amazing that we've been having a big huck out of all the stuff in the roof at home, and it starts, you know, with toddler stuff, toys and Duplo and prams and everything else. And it was so bad, I said to my wife, the only way we can deal with it is just start and bring a bit down at a time. So lots of books have gone off to the charity shops and probably 60% the way through. But I got a lot of papers and junk and stuff out there.
Why did I keep that?
Well, this is true, yeah. Well, we kept a lot of it because we thought the children might want stuff, but they said, don't want any of that junk in our house.
Yeah. I asked my daughter, she's like, no, I don't want any of it.
Yeah.
So I got given stuff from when I was in school about 10 years ago. And
like, yeah, certificates and scrapbooks and, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. That's good. Anyway, thank you for that. All right, we'll see you. Bye-bye. Well, there we are. You see, this is what makes it difficult, because if we end up putting a little bit of political stuff into a walk with Poppy the dog, we could upset some of the people who've agreed to talk. Oh my goodness, life is difficult, isn't it, these days? So, can I throw that back at you? You've come along with me today. If you come for a second one, there must be a reason. So I'm going to ask, what do you think? Should I keep walking the dog as a relaxing thing where we mainly concentrate on what we're seeing on our walks and how we're feeling in a nice sort of way? Or am I allowed to bring in some of the other stuff that gets into my head about what's happening around us? Perhaps you'd be kind enough to put that in a comment under the Oh, I nearly said video. Well, I am going to put this out as a video again, but of course what it really is a podcast. But the thing about YouTube is you can use the Premiere system, which is good. So have a think about it and tell me what you think should happen. And I'll make a decision. I do enjoy chatting with the people, and I've been surprised actually at how relaxed most of them have been when I just say I'm recording. That lady was a little bit nervous. Yeah, Pops. But she did it in the end. So there we are, secret's out. She's been in the village for 40 years, so have I. And yeah, when we came here initially, we thought probably we'd only be here for a couple of years. Because for Navy families, very often you move different locations depending on, you know, where you're based with the military. But we made the decision to stay in Plymouth because it gave my wife and the children some stability. And so time went on, and then all of a sudden you've got younger people in the village stop you and they say, what did it used to be like? And this really makes me smile, because this is the question I used to ask my neighbours. They, in those early days, of course, were much, much older than I was. But now I've got the youngsters in the village coming up and asking me the same things. The passage of time. I've just come through a little back bit here, which I haven't talked about. I'll tell you about that in due course. It's raining now, so I'm going to be quite happy to get in and have a cup of tea. Yeah, interesting little day. Interesting day. Okay, well, it's been good to see you again. I hope you're relaxed. And let me know about episode 2 and what you should think I should do. And if you're a video person, chill out and listen to a bit of audio. Well done, dog. Most of that's probably gone on the wall. Okay, I'll say bye-bye.